I love this time of year because whether it's a pullover or a button-up, I love sweaters. Quince is my go-to site. They're known for Mongolian cashmere sweaters priced from $50. In fact, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. That's because they partner directly with top factories. That cuts out the cost of the middleman, allowing the savings to be passed on to customers like you and me. And Quince works only with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing processes. So check out their sweaters. They also have beautiful leather jackets and so much more. Get cozy in Quince's high-quality wardrobe essentials. Go to quince.com/datingwhilegray for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/datingwhilegray to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/datingwhilegray. Laura here. Happy August. If we were in Europe, we'd basically stop working for the month and go on vacation. We here at Dating While Gray think that's a fine idea, but we can't follow suit. We're working on a one-hour radio special with APM called Love Across the Divide. Plus, we're prepping new podcast episodes for September and beyond. So for the next month, while we're working on these projects, we're dropping encore episodes in your Dating While Gray podcast feed. Please enjoy them while you're taking your break. You can also go to datingwhilegray.com to catch up with any of the speed Dating While Gray episodes you might have missed from the last few months. datingwhilegray.com is also where you can find links to send me voicemails and emails. And while you're there, check out the discount codes offered by our show sponsors. That's at datingwhilegray.com. And thank you for being part of our community of listeners. This is Dating While Gray, the grown-up's guide to love, sex, and relationships. I'm Laura Stassi, and I'm a Scorpio. What's your sign, and has it figured into your romantic life? That's what we're exploring in today's episode, Love in the Stars. Okay, I'll admit, I read my horoscope every morning. It's a habit I got into a long time ago. I think it's fun. For example, one day last November, when I was deep into research for the podcast, my horoscope said I was wrestling with whether I should remain in my creative cave or share my life with someone. And it did not have to be one or the other. When I was in junior high school, I actually wrote the horoscope column for the student newspaper. I didn't do any research. I didn't realize there was any research to do. For me, it was creative writing based mainly on who I had a crush on at any given moment. Like the time I encouraged all Capricorns to break up with their current love interest because their lives had become, quote, awfully dull. There are plenty of fish in the ocean, I wrote, and you have pretty good bait. For some people, astrology starts with getting to know more about themselves before they think about matching with someone else.
I think the whole universe is on purpose and working in ways that we can't always see.
That's Koku. She's in her late 50s and she's been married twice, first to a Scorpio and then to a Libra.
And I think people who study the stars and astrology and all of that, I think they have a little window into our personalities and people born in during the summertime on this day. You know, they're able to spend time and find out what people have in common and go, oh, you know.
Koku says she reads her daily horoscope for fun, but she does think astrology is more than sun signs and basic personality traits.
They say that Geminis are the children of the zodiac, and I definitely am that in the way they say the way we manifest physically, that a lot of times Geminis look younger than they are, and the way we act, our energy is usually a little bit more on the, carefree, youthful side, you know?
Uh-huh. And how about some of the negative aspects of Gemini? Do you feel like that you are those as well?
Yes. Well, with a caveat, because sometimes people will hear that I'm a Gemini and they get the impression that, oh, Gemini, you know, they're two-faced or hypocritical, which is not true. Geminis are very, we do have a lot of duality, but in the way that we can see different points of views, we have different opinions. You know, we always see the yin and yang of things, that kind of duality, I guess, but definitely not hypocritical. It's like, just because I agree with her and I agree with him doesn't, you know, that's not a conflict. That's not, you know.
So you can see both sides or all sides of an issue.
For sure. I look at the horoscope as interesting, like, really? We'll see about that. I wonder, that kind of thing. So I'm not, I wouldn't say I'm like a true believer, like, oh my gosh, you know, they say to stay inside or it's going to be a bad money month. I don't go into it as and believe in it verbatim, literally. If it says it, it's going to happen. But I'd say it's a sweet little consultant to, you know, listen to a little bit. Yeah. I don't think anything is really, you know, just black and white. Like Geminis are youthful. And then you meet somebody who's kind of bitter and crabby. You're going, yeah. You're a Gemini? But who knows what their life experiences have been. Maybe my experiences have been able to kind of foster my true self, possibly. And, oh gosh, now I'm getting ready to get deep.
No, go
but
ahead.
But I would say that at a certain time in my life, things happened that my youthful, lighter spirit, a truer personification of myself was able to come forward that allowed me to be more of a Gemini as opposed to before. I was very kind of quiet, didn't talk at all. Geminis are known to be very talkative, you know?
Yeah.
And so, you know, I grew up in a very strict household and so a very strict religious household. And so I think that experience kind of squashed my natural Gemini tendencies. And once I grew up and grew out and things changed, more of my true self was able to come through.
Yeah, I've always thought Libras and Scorpios don't get along, but it's not just if somebody's a Libra. It has to do with where how our planets were aligned on the respective days we were born and, you know, that kind of thing. It's a more complete picture. I don't know.
Yes, it can get really, really deep. One time a friend gave me my chart, like a little booklet, you know, based on not just my birthday, but the time I was born, the place on the planet where I was born, everything. And, you know, as I read through that, some of the stuff, I was like, oh my gosh. And it said, one of the things that I remember was that in my past life, I know, I didn't know it was that, maybe it was, I didn't know it was that deep. In my past life, I lived a life of seclusion where I was really working on self. And it likened it to a monastery or something like that. And in this life, I'm in a life of service. And I was like, service? Oh, man. Which I know, service is the big word. It's like, be of service, be of service, be of service. And I've got to say, I really am, as far as a lot of my work goes and everything.
So are you involved with anybody right now?
I'm not. You know, I do have someone that I'm kind of interested in. And I can talk because he's not going to listen to this. But his birthday was recently because we went out on his birthday. You know, we went and had a this is recent. This is last week. This is what I did. I got ready to look up his zodiac and try to read all about him. Then I decided not to. I decided that I would try to think, try to get to know him organically, you know, because these days you can do a lot of snooping. You know, who are you? What have they said about you? And it's okay, I'm not going to do any of that. And believe me, I've done that too.
Yeah.
Speed up. And so I said, no, I'm going to get to know him organically. You know, not my words. So this is a word that I heard somebody use. I said, oh, wow, do it organically. So no looking at his zodiac, though I know his birthday. I might just look at his sign.
Yeah, I was going to say, okay, do you want me to? I can pull my phone up.
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
His birthday was March, so it's the 23rd now, so.
Today was 3rd. We went out to breakfast on, today's Tuesday. We went out last week.
So that would be March 16th?
Yes. Yes, it was March 16th. It was March 16th. Okay, this could be it. Be a Leo.
Pisces.
Oh, Pisces. Ooh, that's good.
Is that okay?
Yes, from what I know about Pisces. Oh, good. He's a Pisces. That means he's very kind and sensitive. And my moon is in Pisces. And that used to be one of my defending things when people said, Gemini? Oh, I know about Gemini. I said, oh, but my moon is in Pisces.
And what does that mean, your moon is in Pisces?
I don't know, Laura. I know, my sun is in Gemini, and my moon is in Pisces. And when you look at astrologers, they always say, people focus on the sun sign. It's not just about the sun. It's a lot of things, you know. And I think maybe just the sun signs are the entertainment aspect of the zodiac, you know, with a little bit of truth in there. But you've got to know all of it to really have the ultimate truth.
You know, I understand Koku sounding a little defensive about being a Gemini. I personally think Scorpios get a bad rap for supposedly having trust issues. But if love is truly found in the stars, what should we be considering beyond our daily horoscope?
All that an astrologer ever needs to know is the date, time, and place of birth. When I work with my clients, I don't do it on Zoom. I don't want to see them. I don't want to have any information. I don't even want them to tell me anything about their lives because a good astrologer can see everything.
We'll talk with an astrologer after the break. It's that time of year for gift giving and for goal setting. Know what fits both categories? Learning a new language with Rosetta Stone. It's the trusted language learning program for 30 years, available on desktop or as an app. And it truly immerses you in the language you want to learn. They offer 25 languages with fast acquisition designed for long-term retention. Plus, the built-in True Accent feature gives you feedback on your pronunciation. Rosetta Stone is also convenient. Learn anytime, anywhere, on your own schedule. And here's an amazing value. A lifetime membership offers access to all 25 language courses. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a short time, Dating While Gray listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership holiday special. This offer will not last long. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your holiday offer at rosettastone.com/today today for yourself or as a gift that keeps giving. If you haven't tackled your holiday shopping yet, no worries. Just go to Uncommon Goods. They have unique, hand-picked gifts for everyone on your list, all in one spot. Some of my favorite things are steel outdoor citronella lanterns that you can personalize, and fishing pole-inspired marshmallow roasters. I'd use them for my wood-burning fireplace. Whatever your choices are, when you shop at Uncommon Goods, you're supporting artists and small independent businesses. If you'd rather give an experience, you can find those too. They're more than virtual classes. They're unexpected opportunities to have fun and connect in new ways. Tarot card reading, cooking and mixology, gardening, and so much more. Plus, with every purchase you make at Uncommon Goods, they give back $1 to a nonprofit partner of your choice. To date, they've donated more than $3 million. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/datingwhilegray. That's uncommongoods.com/datingwhilegray for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary. Okay, women, who among us has not had hormonal issues? We're not only dealing with changes our bodies go through, but also hormonal disruptors in our environment. The good news is there's help. It's by Happy Mammoth, and it's called Hormone Harmony. Hormone Harmony is a formula made only with herbal ingredients that are shown to reduce hormonal symptoms in women of all ages. Hormone Harmony contains science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogens. They help the body adapt to any stressors, like chaotic hormonal changes that happen naturally throughout a woman's life. And maybe the biggest benefit, feeling like myself again. That's what women mention over and over in their reviews of Hormone Harmony. And there are more than 30,000 reviews to date. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code DATINGWHILEGRAY at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code DATINGWHILEGRAY for 15% off today. Leslie McQuirk is an illustrator and best-selling children's book author. She credits meeting with an astrologer when she was 19 for showing her this life path was possible. That's also when Leslie started studying astrology herself. She says it can offer meaningful insights, but has little, if anything, to do with daily horoscopes.
Actually, that's not what it is at all. That is one of the biggest problems, is that people think astrology is horoscopes, and that's not what it is. That's not what I do. I actually don't really believe in horoscopes. I think it's fun. It's entertaining, but what I do is super accurate and totally different. So here's what astrology is. When you're born, you are imprinted with a vibrational map, sacred geometry of where all the planets were at the moment of birth. And we live in an electromagnetic universe. So music is a lot like astrology in that you can't see it or touch it. It's something that's felt and it's something that's interpreted. So you are born with basically a musical score, okay, which is a design or a pattern. So everything in nature has a pattern, whether it's a tree trunk or a snowflake. Everything has a pattern, including us. So we are born with basically an owner's manual. And knowing your horoscope is like saying that you are a Mercedes, but I don't know what color you are. I don't know if you're a sedan or a SUV or diesel. What are? I mean, it means nothing to me. I'm really not into sun sign astrology at all because it's not detailed enough. And astrology is incredibly accurate when you have the understanding on how to read the human pattern. And it's an interpreted thing. So you could go to 20 astrologers and get different interpretations, just like a musical score. You could have Elton John play it. It's going to sound different than Ray Charles. So we have a definite system and an organized way of being. And an astrologer's job is to help you find the easiest way to learn to like your music and to play it the best way possible.
Oh, I love that analogy. Thinking of it like music, that makes so much sense. So, and when you say you study it, do people go to school or do you become certified as an astrologer? I mean, how does that work?
You can go to school. I have been studying since I was 19 and I've had various teachers over the years. But I think the thing that's made me a really good astrologer is just doing hundreds and thousands of charts. And when it's just like, it's exactly the same as playing music or learning a musical instrument. You can read about how to play a guitar, but you're not going to be good at it. The only way you get good at astrology is to keep doing it.
So it sounds like it's almost psychology or therapy in a way.
This is an esoteric science, and it is extremely valuable, and it is like therapy. I always tell people to think about it like acupuncture. 50 years ago, people thought that was nuts. Like, how could you put a needle in my toe and it helps my neck? And it's because we're an electromagnetic system. So if needles in the toe or in the ears can help your body, which is a known medical fact now, why would we fight the fact that astrology can help see the patterns? So it's an extremely useful thing for the medical world to know about.
Let's talk about what you do and finding romantic love, and how does it work for people 50 and older, and is there a difference between that and romantic love for people younger than 50?
I think that love is love, and finding the right partner is I think it's more, it's like you have more of a seasoned approach, obviously, if you're older. But I feel that astrology is one of the best ways to figure out whether or not someone is safe for you. And I think in this day and age, safety is a big, big deal. There are some people who karmically are just not healthy for us. As one of my astrology teachers said, Leslie, you can burn off this karma with this guy over a cup of coffee. You don't have to get involved with him. Forget the sun sign astrology, because that's what 90% of the books out there are looking at for compatibility, and that's not really going to help you. That's not accurate. You want to look at, first of all, your moon sign, because the moon tells me how you're going to react when you get emotionally upset. So if you have your moon in Cancer, which is water, which is where it loves to be, and you're dating somebody who's got their moon in fire, like Leo or Aries or Sagittarius, these do not combine really well. You could have unbelievable great stuff in the chart, unbelievable chemistry, but if emotionally you're not going to get fed by the other person, that's something to know. Now, it can still work, and that's where astrology is beautiful, because you're not going to change somebody's basic makeup. I always use the expression of a giraffe, you know, if it has a long neck, don't get mad at it when it doesn't fit into a mouse hole. It's just the way that it is.
Yeah.
Everyone knows their sun sign, but most people don't know they also have a moon sign and a Mercury sign. So again, the same principle is, if you have your Mercury in Cancer, which is what I have, it means that when I talk, I'm gentle and soft. Like, Cancer's a very shy, kind of retiring zodiac sign. So if you put me in a relationship with someone who has their Mercury in fire, it means the fire person, they love to be sharp and sarcastic and fight once in a while. That's just the way they are. And I don't like it at all. It's very difficult for me. So I was once engaged to a guy who we had incompatible Mercuries, and it actually became the one thing that I knew it was never going to work for me. So,
okay, like, let's say I meet Mr. I think he's wonderful, and we get our charts and we discover that our moons are in conflicting
elements.
Am I saying this right?
Yeah.
Elements. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it doesn't necessarily mean I need to break up. It's just something I need to be aware of, because that might be a source of conflict going down the road.
Right. So here's what I look at with astrology. I look at, are these two people emotionally compatible? That's number one. Number two, can they communicate with each other? That's the second one. The third one, do they have sexual chemistry? Some people love to touch all the time. People who have their sexual energy in air, they hate that. They hate that glommy, touchy-feely thing all the time. It doesn't mean they're not great lovers or wonderful people. It's just they have a different need. They're designed differently. So those are the three things that people need to know about the person they're thinking of getting serious with. And so an astrologer is also looking at the patterns. Like, when is it a good time for you to meet somebody? When are you going to get married? Sometimes you could be totally ready for a partner. So I met this woman who was in her mid-60s. I met her in Mexico, where I teach at Rancho La Puerta. And she had had gastric bypass surgery. She was still quite overweight. She told me that she had lived with her mother, and she rescued cats. And I could tell this was not somebody who had dated or had a boyfriend. And it just, you just got the whole vibe of what her life was like. So when she got home, she lived in Seattle. When she got home, I did her astrology reading. And I was blown away. I was like, oh my God. Because I don't normally see my clients, but I remembered her. I said, you are incredibly sexual. You are not supposed to be alone. And I said, you're not really out there dating at all, are you? She said, no, I haven't had a date in 20 years. I said, listen, girlfriend, this has got to stop. Because your entire design is for love and sexuality and partnership, and it's why you were born. And I said, right now, with the weather forecast, in this next year, you have the perfect opportunity to meet somebody. So then I have another trick in my toolbox, not really a trick, another tool, and it's an astrocartography map, and it tells you the best places to go for love. So for women, yeah, it's really interesting. I'm looking at her map, and right through Cuba is Venus, the sexy goddess planet. If a woman goes to a Venus line, she turns into this sexy, energized woman that men are attracted to. So I said, you need to go to Cuba. Get yourself a cute dress and go to Cuba. All right. A year passes, and she wrote to me, and she said, dear Leslie, after the reading, I thought it was really great reading, except for all that nonsense about getting a cute dress and going to Cuba. But you won't believe it. About 8 months after the reading, a girlfriend of mine was going to Cuba, and she invited me to go with her, and I hadn't traveled anywhere in years. And she went and met a guy who lived 10 miles from her in Seattle. They fell madly in love, and they've been together ever since.
Oh, so it sounds like sometimes, because I always love hearing about serendipitous meetings, but it sounds like serendipity might have something to do with our star charts, our planets, and, you know, understanding our owner's manuals, as you say.
Right. Well, and also, there's a great line. It's I don't know who said it, but I've used this line before. It's luck is the residue of design. So serendipity and luck, part of it has to do with putting yourself in the right place at the right time as well. And following the patterns, that's all an astrologer is doing is seeing the patterns. And sometimes with love, when we aren't getting what we want, sometimes it's because the other person needs to be at such a highly more elevated level that maybe they're not ready. And you can't be with just anybody if you're looking for something really special. And it is sad. There is a lot of grief involved with being single and being alone because it's scary and it can take a lot of energy to stay hopeful and to believe that around the next corner at any minute somebody could be fun and interesting for your life. But the most important thing is to just keep being engaged with life. It's really important to have friends of the opposite sex because that can help balance you out too. A lot of women I know don't have any male friends. And I think that's a place to start. If you want to have a healthy relationship with a guy, start learning how to be friends with a guy. And same thing with men. You know, it's healthy to have female friends. It helps you then be a better partner for a woman that you could have in your life.
You heard Leslie say we should all know our Mercury sign. She wrote a book called The Power of Mercury, and it includes tables so you can look yours up. Mine's Scorpio. And guess what? Mercury was in retrograde on the day I was born. According to Leslie, this applies to about 15 to 20% of the population. We're supposedly open to radical and visionary ideas, and our brains are wired to be a bit more unusual. Okay, I'm starting to make more sense to myself. So what might all this mean for my love life? I asked a self-taught chart reader about what might be in the stars for my romantic future. Remember Joe and Patricia from the first episode of season 2? They're the ones who met after a bungled speed dating event.
I passed out.
Okay, wait a minute.
Maybe I was a little nervous, had a little too much to drink, and then I woke up and my head's in her lap and she's combing, putting her fingers through my hair, saying it's okay.
Turns out, Joe is into astrology. To decide if two people are compatible, he looks at things like the Chinese zodiac and planetary alignments based on time, date, and place of birth.
Well, as she was looking about me on every site and finding out if I was who I said I was, if I really existed, and going on Facebook and all that stuff, I was actually looking up these scores and everything because she was, you know, kind enough to you know, let me know the exact time, date, location she was born. So I was reading through all of this and I was going, wow, 94%, because I had never seen, very seldom do you get anything in the 90s or above 90.
I asked Joe if he would compare my chart with the charts of three different men. Joe agreed, explaining that there's more than one way to make interpretations.
It's sort of like having a recipe where you can still come out with a delicious chocolate cake, but there's many different ways of doing it. Uh-huh. So what I would do is I wouldn't take just one thing. Well, like I'm a Libra and she's a Capricorn. Then there's the Chinese astrology. There's the year that you were born in that Chinese astrology. There's tarot things. There's things that you dream about this person. So there's all sorts of this, what they would call, I don't want to call it mystical, but let's just say another source of information to find out about, you know, not only your tendencies, but those tendencies with somebody else who you'd be interested in pursuing a relationship with.
Okay. Okay. So I gave you men to compare my chart with, and we're going to call them Mr. G, Mr. T, and Mr. W, based on a certain aspect of them. And so I want to start with Mr. W, because Mr. W is not necessarily a compatible sun sign of mine, Scorpio and Libra, but you came up with an overall match of 83%. And I'm wondering how you explain that.
Okay. So what this does is this just gives you an overview of what you could be looking at. What was interesting with all of your choices is they, or especially with Chinese astrology, you're looking, if you're in the same year that that person was born in, like year of the rat, year of the horse, and if you're matching up with the same year, you're already going to have a higher score than you would normally. And then you just look at that with the other things, because you're right. Normally a Scorpio man and or Scorpio woman and Libra or Libra men, you know, it could be challenges. Let's just say there. Uh-huh. And I'm speaking from experience because my mother was a Scorpio and my daughter is a Scorpio. So I have a deep knowledge of these Scorpio women. So you are
very, lucky,
very fiery, very strong, very passionate individuals. So you may end up with a high score on the surface, but then when you start burrowing, you know, you might find that 17%, which is keeping you from getting to 100%. Well, maybe those are things that you can't find compromises, or you can't find a way to work through it, where mm-hmm. there could be somebody with a 77%, but that's in that 77% are those core things that you would really need to pursue a good relationship.
Okay. Okay. Which reminds me, so Mr. T, he's another sort of incompatible sun sign, a Leo, and there was only 74% compatibility. So does that mean we're doomed, or we could make it work? We're just going to have to try a little harder.
That was the lowest of the three overall scores, but it's looking at different things that were either present in the atmosphere or in the universe when you each were born, but it also looks at where you were born as well, which takes into account a lot of things. And I know it's just looking at latitude and longitude when you're plugging it in, but if they're in another country or in another culture, those things could perhaps affect it as well. And then you always look at those things that are saying that, well, here's your friction points. But like I said, different individuals will put different values on different things. Like, this person doesn't like chocolate and I love chocolate, and that's a non-starter for me if this person can't eat chocolate. So, you know, that might be in the 26% or whatever that you don't match up. But hey, if it's something that you can work or do without, then perhaps the 74% isn't as important. And you have to remember, it's just a starting point too, and it's just one part of the equation that's going in there. So these scores were just taken from Chinese astrology and those star chart pictures. Actually, once you start moving along the road, it doesn't mean that it can't grow, because this is just a starting point, these scores. Uh-huh. You can always go up once you get to know the person, or once you work through the things and improve your score. And then again, you know, it could go down as well.
Yeah. Okay. And then finally, Mr. G, I didn't have a time of birth. And so first of all, how much does that throw off the result?
It can throw it off pretty significantly, but at least if you have the date and the location, you know, if, as long as you can get within that 24-hour window, you know, you were born sometime on that day. Yeah. You know, it's not going to be as exact, but it'll get you in the ballpark very well.
Yeah, because I was going to say, he and I do have compatible, he's the one that I did have a compatible sun sign with, Virgo. And at the same time, he was still 83%, just like the Libra.
Anytime you get anything over 70%, feel fortunate. And then if you get in the 80s, then you have a chance to even reach the 90s. But if you start in the 90s percentiles, then you're really one of the fortunate ones that the universe and the stars and the charts have smiled upon.
You heard Joe say that I have 83% compatibility with both Mr. W and Mr. G. Mr. W, that's my ex-husband. Okay, we did manage to stay married for almost 30 years, so no snickering. And Mr. G, that's Colin Firth, you know, the British actor from Bridget Jones's Diary and The King's Speech. Think about it. I have as much astrological compatibility with Colin Firth as I have with my ex-husband. Now all I've got to do is meet the king. Colin. The final candidate, Mr. T, who's only 74% compatible, I'm not revealing the identity, other than to say he's a good sport who gave me his information. Sounds like we might not be the most natural of matches. In fact, Leslie McQuirk's Mercury sign book says we're very different yet equally strong-minded. But we can be a, quote, very powerful combination. Might be fun to try working on that final 26%.